Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louis Wildove and Grey Eyes Smith. And tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies that are available on amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on open poetry that Liu has collected, and I'm going to grab the first piece here, and I'll post it to the board. Okay, here we go. And this is called Gift Me Love by Unapologetically LMB. If there is a love that smells of sunshine, almonds, and of sweet decay, lily of the valley, of hand-churned churned cheese, freshly harrowed hay, a cloistered love alone, hidden in the hills, amidst moss-stained rocks, in forests deep, amongst the sweet gum saplings, camouflaged by fallen leaves, buried, lying undisturbed, within the wild, primeval, primeval gravid undergrowth. If there is such love, bring it to me, served as manna in your open hands. Drown me in sticky sweet secretions, held and swilled within the percolating cavern of your mouth. Render me assailable, open, and immobile by the paralyzing madness of desire, caught tight between your loins and your implacable and restless eyes. End poem. Wow, that was quite beautiful. You know, it really is passionate and desirous throughout. You know, it had a kind of a savagery to it. And, you know, it really is a powerful poem on the subject of love and being in love and wanting that to take you to another place. So just a beautiful poem, Unapologetically LMB. And okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem and I'll post that to the group. Okay, here we go. Okay, posting this. And there we go. I'm going to check the poem lines real quick here. And no, it's just me. Okay, here we go. This is called Once More to the Breach. We do beseech. Of what poetic alchemy does this leaden torch, its pencil's ever-sharpening, unending point, transmute to golden lines, ear whisperings? Do our hearts not skip a beat when the comfortable silence that is part of our poem's melodies weave within its tapestry are placed just so? Is it not also a pointless point, my number two's unending, one does light upon, for reading isn't hearing? Is it not a twig of poetry, earthen, sun-sparked, ethereal, skybound, too true to expound upon? And when our heart gestures bleeding ink lines, the dance engraving such imagery in the mind's eye, feelings within a breast, bemusing the ear, don't they accompany in the sphere's choreography? Is nature not awoke when bards extemporaneously evoke such wonder that co-creation of the cosmos is quickened? Yeah, got me, a listener asserts dismissively. The audience laughs. End poem. And, yeah, no, that was quite a beautiful poem. It was very, very lyrical in its presentation. And fascinating points of interest. Is nature not awoke when bards extemporaneously evoke such wonder that the co-creation of the cosmos is quickened? Things that make you go, Well, it was wonderfully done, reality. And I'm going to grab the next poem. Okay, here we go. And this is by SSM. It's called A Superhero Just Like You. A superhero just like you. Never liked the superhero stories. For them to emerge, tragedy needs to happen too. The superheroes in real life are far and few. Not looking, yet I found one. I don't know how. Pulling me up from failures to start anew. Whatever love life dealt, you always got us through. You made me love the stories of superheroes too. The feats they achieve, and the miracles they do. But with you, every day is a wonder, every moment a bliss, I am even hoping of being one whom everyone look up to, a superhero just like you. A superhero just like you. Well, that was a very pointed tribute to somebody that they see as a hero. I thought it was quite beautifully presented and had a fascinating storyline to it. So, you know, just a wonderfully rhyming poem with a subtle yet profound message. Beautifully done. As a soul searching, musing. That's who that was written by. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem. And I will post that to the board. Okay, here we go. There we are. Okay, just checking the studio real quick here. Just little old me. This is by Leif van Amsterdam, and it's called Fascinator. I can't say I haven't thought what it would be like. I can't say you haven't inspired me to write. I can say I have control over myself at this moment. I could say, if you were a car, I'd like to own it. Your legs go on forever, and I love you in shorts. The rest of you is perfect as well, of course. You have intelligence, and I enjoy picking your brain. There are certain traits we have that are the same. I should probably keep this piece to myself, but knowing me, I'll probably risk life itself. Take a chance now. In case I miss the moment, I look at your hair from behind and long to stroke it. End poem. And, that was a beautiful, loving tribute to somebody who has beautiful hair that he'd like to stroke. I can't say I haven't thought what it would be like. I can't say you haven't inspired me to write. I can't say I have control of myself at this moment. I could say, if you were a car, I'd like to own it. Fascinating poem. Okay, here we go. Just going to type in the group here. And Pam's going to call. Yay, Pam. Pamela to the rescue. Actually, Pam. I don't know if she goes by Pamela. Okay, here we go. This is called 1 Week by Ahmed Atter. What are you to lose if you let me love you for 1 week? If you let me live in your room before you leave it forever, and I may maneuver through your sins and virtues. If you let me bathe in the lakes of your cinnamon eyes, if you let the waves out of your lips crash against the coast of my oracle, if you show me how you dream, I'll show you how I fight my nightmares. If you let me hold you in my larynx, if you let me mold you into my sacred relic, I can show you how gods are made and how to worship them, how I'll memorize every texture of your architecture. If I can taste every one of your teeth, and may our quirks collide momentarily, and I float through your cells like the osmosis. If you let my mouth show its power, will you stay another week? What are you to lose if you let me love you for one more week? End poem. And that was a fascinating poem. It was expressive, descriptive, and beautiful word choices. So it's a fantastic poem. And I thought it was quite beautiful. Great job, Ahmed. Okay. Right here. I'll grab the next poem and post this to the board. Okay, here we go. By Ruth M. Martz. This is called Until We Meet Again. Until we meet again, across the pages of our poetry, may the sunshine bring you joy beyond compare. The raindrops, only enough to grow your garden and calm your crying there. May the moon give you light and crystal clarity, for in the dark our ideas are created. May dusk bring the end of sorrows and the dawn, new hope again. Until we meet again, peace, poem. And I mean, those are words to live by, really. You want to, you know, you want to be this person in both giving and receiving, you know, the blessed and the blessee, just because it's so beautiful throughout. Just a loving poem filled with singlets. Single sentences, which was just a joy to read. Beautiful poem, Ruth M. Martz. Okay. Okay. Well, grab the next poem. Posting this to the group now. Okay, this is called Jammu and the Kashmir Atrocities. No right to live in freedom of choice. No girls is independent to walk in streets. No one is allowing to cry for the pain endured. Some nights remain nights, and some days too. Some mothers await their children, and some cannot. We perform 5 prayer a day in our hometown, then perform a few more than basic 5s. These prayers are performed for their martyrs. Each dinner is supposed to be the last dinner. Each siyaf before leaving for school is the last farewell that carries the fear of army and police clashes. Each Friday when Kashmir Miri celebrate their feast, those killers by ideology make them observe the days by darkest of human atrocities. How many girls would be coercion for war crimes? How many lads will still face the torture till deaths? How many fathers would pick up the young females? For each 4 feeble Kashmiri guys and 2 Kashmiri girls, they have 1 uniform, wild, racist, and criminal. 6 with the mix of M2, Colt, M4, G3, AK-47, and the deadliest mindset, and poem. And, yeah, very tragic poem, the telling of war and the atrocities that are experienced by everyday people when war comes to town. Just a very sad and poignant poem on the subject of death in a war. So yeah, great job. AG Shazblab, Shazal. Yeah, fascinating poem. Very sad and tragic. Okay, I'm going to check the phone line, sir. Okay, we've got callers. Woohoo. Hello, Pam Ray. Is that you?
It is me. Hi, Gray. How's it going?
Hi. Oh, it's been a bit lonely. Other than that,
I am here to cure your loneliness and, make as good a comments as I can I don't make any promises, though.
Awesome, awesome. I appreciate that, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to answer another phone call here. Area code 763.
It's the Duke.
Hello?
The Duke of St. Paul. It's the Duke of St. Paul, and I am here. Happy to be here.
Welcome, Dexter.
Glad to have
glad
you.
I could be
you
here.
Calling in. Thank you for calling in, Dexter. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to post the next phone, Pam, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right.
Well, can I leave a comment on that last one really quick?
Sure, absolutely.
I thought that was an incredible poem and one that we don't see the side of too often because just the way that I took that is almost kind of atrocities and finally people are kind of in the Middle East, or not finally, but people in the Middle East standing up and seeing the thing for face value, and we need to also as well across the world, but it just seems like it's just refreshing to hear people around the world echoing the same disdain and upsetness for the status quo. And I think that's what that poem is about. So well done.
Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, would you like to make a comment on the last poem?
Yeah, I tell you, this one really hit hard. You know, to me, it speaks volumes, especially when he says we perform five prayers a day in our hometown. So here's the people who at their core are very spiritual, have a deep faith, and the constant questions that he has in here, like why these war crimes, why these tortures till death, why do these young have to die in funerals? You know, it just, like I said, it hits hard and it brings something that's another world away closer to us so that we can get a grasp at how truly difficult the world can be when it comes to hate and violence. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, anytime you're ready, Pam. If you wouldn't mind reading the next one.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Love or Hate by Metaphysical Migraine. And it goes like this. I'd rather own a stick than gun. A didgeridoo is harmony. Bullets can fly past, fast and stun. Boomerangs and art, now money. Kangaroos can keep their distance while we huddle around campfires. So why wage war, just for instance, or burn building to fuel liars? I fought with fists, weapons are weak, hands clenched from fingers first pointed, ready any day of the week, standing my ground as anointed. Fighting a battle's wearing thin, we all have to grin and dare it, to walk and talk of tanks that win, or subs that sink a stray brigade. It takes guts that should... It takes guts that shuts the loud mouth. The bully from school has grown big. Now he's got an army down south to go with his northeast and west gig and poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is a fascinating story on rhyme. I mean, you know, in society, the war that seems to be part of our society. And choosing not to be part of that war is a choice that we all have. And, I mean, to some degree, I guess, unless you're conscripted. But, you know, we've never had conscription here in Canada, so I don't know about that. But I'm sure if we did, I wouldn't get picked anyway. I'm too short. But, no, this is a beautiful poem relating to war and the subject of war. So what did you think, Dexter?
I agree. You know, it fighting a battle wearing thin. I feel like this has a lot to do with obviously the Ukraine and Russia is what kind of my guess is. But it's kind of to see that level of brutality, to see that kind of invasion on a country brings kind of out in a way a little bit the warrior in all of us. I think that around the world we all question what we would do in that scenario. I think that that's what it made us I think that that's what that whole situation has done, and kind of made people kind of say we're for Ukraine and all of these things, and got a response I don't think that Russia really anticipated, because you know the human spirit is kind of built around the underdog and the fighting spirit. You know, we love a good underdog that can win, and I think that that's kind of what this poem is about, but in a different way. You know, it doesn't always mean that in a fighting way. The underdog can win in a lot of different atmospheres, and I just think that this is a very well thought out piece.
Absolutely. Thank you for your comment. And well, I'd like to welcome Laurent to the show. Hello, Laurent.
Good evening, how are you all?
I'm doing good.
Good evening, Laurent.
Pleasure to be here. A little late. Sorry about that.
Oh, late's better than never, for sure.
Well, it's perfect for the late night poet.
Yeah. Right. Would you like to comment on the last poem that Dexter read? I mean, Pam read?
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept, isn't it? The poetry contest set up for people who love or hate weaponry and love or despise the weapon. Here it seems like there is an appreciation for a natural kind of weapon. He mentions a stick. As opposed to a gun, he mentions a boomerang. He says, I fall with fists. Weapons are weak, implying that if you fight nobly with your fists, then that's going to be the way to fight. Weapons are for the weak. He says, weapons are weak, but they're for the weak. And weapons of that sort allow an intemperate mind to hold sway over an otherwise peaceful population. I personally am fascinated with weapons of all kinds. I'm also horrified at the things they can do. I appreciate guns to the extent that I love to fire them at a target range. Beyond that, the thought of using one for any other purpose makes me shudder. I thought this particular poem trod the middle line very, very well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really appreciated this write, and I have to agree with Dexter. That seems to have a lot to do with the Ukraine. And the main message seems to be about the idea of bullies that hide behind weapons, you know, whether the weapons are words or the weapons, you know, are actual, like, guns and tanks. I was particularly amused with the second stanza, I have to say, with the idea that if kangaroos can learn to keep their distance, if kangaroos can learn where they're allowed and where they're not allowed, why can't these bullies, you know? And I also like the idea of, you know, saying that I fought with fists, weapons are weak, hands, you know, that whole idea of the of learning to fight with that hand-to-hand combat rather than depending on a weapon. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Dexter, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one, please.
Absolutely. Okay, this is Taps Across America is for honoring all veterans of all colors and creed. Some say Western civilization rules, fights inadequacies of Dixie's blues, of haters seeing non-white veterans less than white Christian civilians. The horrors of terror is done to freeze peace and joy within the USA's breeze, such that shootings and race slayings divide to win the North war Dixie derides. White extremists say race war is coming, while glorifying Stone Mountain humming songs on how traitors who lost should have won seeks insurrection with a long gun. On Monday at 3 p.m. o'clock, taps, remembering America's fallen caps. End poem.
Beautiful read, Dexter. And, I mean, you know, this is a hard-hitting poem on the subject of race in the military and, you know, the reflection of that on society is powerfully said. He's got in here India Krager, Anthony Hill, Walter Scott, and Kenneth Chamberlain fought for 4 U.S. abroad, killed at home by police, honoring them on Memorial Day. That's hard to fathom. I mean, I don't know what that is, but that's really hard to fathom. You know, these 4 soldiers go out to fight for the freedom of U.S. and end up dying at home on a Memorial Day. Just a sad, tragic poem, well expressed in its presentation, though. Beautifully done. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is another powerful write. It's such a shame, you know, that people throughout the centuries of different races, different colors have fought for the freedoms that the United States have, only to be confronted with violence and hate at their homeland, you know. And I like that he made this. The title says so much. Taps Across America is for honoring all veterans of all colors and all creeds. I thought the title alone said so much, and really just a wonderful tribute, a sad tribute to those who died in a different type of war. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and enjoy is kind of a bad word, I guess, maybe to use, but it's such an enlightening poem. I remember reading not too long ago, I believe it was about World War One, the battalions of black soldiers had gone in to fight, and they got like all of the secondhand equipment, just a scattered, you know, makeshift old rifles and things like that. And I can imagine how scary it is going to combat fully equipped, but to go into combat knowing that you're limited on ammunition, knowing that you are dated on your weaponry, and there's been so many, you know, black people have absolutely earned the right, without saying, to be able to protest the flag, to be able to protest our country, and I thought that this right captured that.
Are you on mute, Gray? Uh-oh. Gray dropped. Hopefully he'll be back pretty soon. And there he's back. All right, cool.
Yeah, I am. Did you get a comment, Lawrence?
No, I didn't. Let me comment. Powerful little piece. Speaks to something that's been going on in this country for hundreds of years. Our Civil War being fought over, and it somehow still seems to be alive and well. White extremists say race war is coming, while glorifying the Stone Mountain, humming songs that our traitors who lost should have won, seeking insurrection with a long gun. And he's right. There are so many white extremists. I guess they've always been part of this country, but they've never had the official okay. While in recent years, under certain administrations, their existence has really proliferated strongly, which is a crying shame. I can remember in boot camp, I had white friends who would badmouth blacks all the time using the N-word. And I was a little surprised by this. But those same people, after boot camp, had black friends as close as any of their white friends, but they're exposed to them for the first times in their lives, and found out they were just people like you and me, who maybe spoke a little different, but were completely human, just like them. So to me, it's all about exposure and education. It solves a lot of the root problems of hate. Poem describes beautifully.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lauren. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome to the show Liu Wildove. Hello to you. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Hi, hi, hi.
Hey, Liu.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, sweetie. Hey, sweetie.
Did
you want me to comment?
Yes, please.
You know, this poem for me is one of thought. You know, and especially Pam brought that out and some of the comments that Laurent brought out, that Memorial Day is to honor all veterans. You know, I think people need to concentrate on that. All veterans of all colors and creeds. You know, you just look at the history books all through history, the Native Americans, the African Americans, the Orientals, the Japanese, especially during World War II, where everything was taken away from them when they were put, you know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, you know, how they were treated. They were not treated as American citizens. They were just treated as second-class citizens. And this is something here for us to think about. They laid their life, no matter what color they are, no matter what religion they are, no matter what background they are, they signed up to fight for the country, and they should all be honored. And, you know, then he put this picture here where it's of four veterans that are African-American, and that they said that they had come home, but they were killed by police. You know, not everybody who's Native American and people who are running or whatever, African-Americans, they're shot more often. You know, statistics show that the colored people are put in jail more often, and also they're shot more often. And, you know, this is something for us to think about because, you know, we don't know. You know, I wish people would think about with their hearts how this country came to be, and that they would just honor that. Just simply said, doesn't matter what color you are, what age you are, what race you are, if you served, you should be honored. If you served, and especially if you got a dishonorable discharge.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you, Lee. Great comment. Okay, Laura, would you mind reading for Joseph Kushner?
All right. This is called Weathered Heroes. Cannons of gunmetal gray are given the call to cease their objective. Silence is painted over the landscape, granting fleeting moments for death pangs to be voiced. The banners of peace wave high above the smoky battlefield, riddled with empty shell casings and skeletal faces, brandishing long, toothy looks of mangled astonishment. The treaty is signed on virgin parchment. Politicians erupt in untuned glee, whilst caskets are delivered into the ground with a flag of their country, proudly adorned. Fireworks explode over grassy green fields of curious onlookers. Long shadows are cast on the overgrown cemetery, with tall rows of grass and cattails on the paths that leave faded tombs of weathered hills and bones.
Beautiful read, Lawrence. That was a well-presented poem. I mean, you know, its language choice and its flow were fantastic. The treaty is signed on virgin parchment. Politicians erupt in untuned glee, whilst caskets are delivered into the ground with the flag of their country proudly adorned. I mean, isn't that what it is, that, you know, these soldiers go to war over politics most times? And very sad presentation of that story. The treaty is signed on virgin parchment. Politicians erupt untuned glee, while caskets are delivered into the ground with a flag of their country proudly adorned. I mean, that stanza just hits me hard. Beautiful presentation of the poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree that stanza does hit particularly hard in the idea that it is often the ones who start the war that don't actually fight it. I also really like the banners of peace wave high above the smoky battlefield, riddled with empty shell casings and skeletal faces, brandishing long, toothy looks of mangled astonishment. That phrasing right there captures perfectly, to the point that it gives me shivers. You can imagine the look on somebody's face when they die in the middle of a battle. And it reminds us that freedom isn't free, that it does come at a price. And so just a hard-hitting right all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Dexter, what did you think?
I thought this was a fantastic piece. You know, what I thought fascinating while looking at the picture, I feel like people on top feel like they make savages and animals of man to fight these wars. But I think that the people at the bottom begin to realize the animals and the savages that are on top. And so I think that the picture is very reflective, and the poem weaves in between both, that I think that man, just in general, for creating these conflicts is a savage, and he becomes an animal and in either position. So I thought that this was a fantastic piece weaving the dualities.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Dexter. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought Jared did such, Joseph Kushner did such a great job on this. He's an artist. And you can tell even with his writing how visual everything is, you know, about the cannons and you know, the moments where, people are just dying on the field. And, you know, at times, sometimes it's not even a just war. It's just something, you know, due to greed, where politicians or kings want more. And here it is, through all this fighting and all this gore and everything, in the end, you know, during the holidays, you know, just made me think about the 4th of July and Veterans Day and Memorial Day, you know, or fireworks explode over grassy green fields of curious onlookers. Long shadows are cast on the overgrown cemetery with tall rows of grass and cattails on the path that lead faded tombs of weathered heroes. And, you know, that we go, you know, I don't think not a lot of people know how horrific wars can be, you know, but that is something that he painted. And regardless, veterans need to be honored. War heroes need to be honored.
Absolutely. And I'd like to welcome Captain B2 to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
Evening, evening.
Good
welcome,
evening.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
I did. I did. It is very, very powerful, visceral piece. And as I was reading it and listening to the comments, what immediately leapt to my mind is there's a powerful and poignant African proverb that states, when the elephants fight, only the grass suffers. So when powerful forces mm-hmm. go to war, it's the people who are hurt. The people who don't ask for the conflict in the first place are caught or killed in the crossfire. So, and I think he's said this with great, great eloquence.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Lou, I have the next poem up by White Tiger, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me refresh. You Can Make Peonies Bloom in Blue by White Tiger. Your sunbeams make peonies bloom in blue with rumbling storms and sigh triple rainbows. The grass beneath your feet maintains a band, a genification, kaleidoscopes of amorphous clouds, the sky to cast your shade, painted deserts fade to humbly praise both you and I, though still I wonder why. How could I forsake my greatest power? Why would someone tame a wildflower? How could eyes lay claim to such a view? Why would someone pluck the world of you? End poem.
Beautiful read, Lou. And, you know, this is a deep poem on the subject of loving somebody so much that, you know, you wonder, how could I forsake my greatest power? Why would somebody tame a wildflower? How could eyes lay claim to such a view? Why would someone pluck the world of you? You know, that's hard-hitting, and it's a powerful poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Those are great questions asked in the end stanza. Because, you know, if you have a partner that is a free spirit, that is a powerful person, and, has a strong voice, why try to tame it? You know, I also like the phrase kaleidoscopes of Morpheus, cloud the skies to cast your shade, paint a desert fade to humbly praise. Those words there make me think of the dreamlike quality of the floating feeling that you get almost like when you're around this person or that the two of you are together. I think it's a beautiful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Well, it makes me question if it, you know, if it's just strictly metaphor, if this is true in some type of natural state. I've never seen it. What a beautiful sight it would be to see. I believe it's just turning blue in the as a metaphor by, you know, maybe being a one-sided thing. I think that being in a relationship is in a healthy relationship is the balance of kind of plucking each other from the vine and being okay with that. But it is a very beautiful and imaginative it's kind of a striking image, and I just am fascinated by it altogether. I thought it was a great write.
Thank you, Dexter. And Lauren, what did you think?
I like the nature metaphors used to show the level of love and power of the other person in this short, but I think a very romantic piece of poetry. The fact that the grass beneath your feet maintains a bend of genuflection, that kaleidoscopes on morphos plow the skies to cast you shade, made the deserts fade to humbly praise both you and I. It includes both people there. But he asks the question, how could I forsake my greatest power? Why would someone tame a wildflower? How could I, as I claim to such a view, why would someone pluck the world of you? In praise of a loved one, it's beautifully done.
Well said, thank you, Lynn. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was a beautiful love poem by White Tiger. What, you know, I liked about it is when you're attracted to somebody, you're automatically attracted to their beauty or their behavior. And if you get to know them a little bit, you can see them weather storms. And you see that this beautiful flower, it says the grass beneath your feet maintains a bond of genuflection. The kaleidoscope, the colors of personality that you see in that other person. Opposites do attract. Also, people who have the same liking and the same things also attract. And that's what, for me, I was thinking, why would you, if you fell in love with that beautiful flower, why would you destroy it when the things you fell in love with were the things that, you know, you now would possibly want to take apart? So I don't understand that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lou. And Bobby, what did you think?
First stanza. Your sunbeams make peonies bloom in blue, while rumbling storms inspire triple rainbows, and the grass beneath your feet maintains a bend in genuflection. It feels like the poet is saying that his beloved, this person, is so special that they can make the impossible possible. Peonies do not bloom in blue. But she can do this just by her grace and her personality and her goodness of heart. And apparently this person lost track of how powerful her love is, because how could I forsake my greatest power? His greatest power was her love. Why could someone tame a wildflower? And apparently he's just disregarded it and cashiered the relationship. And now he's realizing that atonement is too late.
Yeah, very astute comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, would you mind reading for Doc Frank, Bobby?
No, I would not mind. Okay, what am I reading here? Let's see. Oh, Doc Frank. Oh, yes, of course. Okay. We have Memorial by Doc Frank. Favorite golf memory as company president, invited CEOs, telecoms, play golf at Nicholas Columbia, Ohio course, site of Memorial Tournament. Lessons from Mr. Jeff, Jack's teacher, walked behind dozens of us, swinging instructions to each one, played course with members shot in 90s, and embarrassingly had borrowed balls from one of my men. Obviously, many. End point.
Great read, Bobby. And, so it was a fascinating poem on, you know, a day at the golf course on Memorial Day, and having to borrow balls from one of his managers, obviously many mulligans. I'm not sure what a mulligan is, but I'm thinking it's a missed hole. But fascinating poem on the subject. But what did you think, Pam?
I was thinking that a mulligan is a type of alcoholic drink, but I don't know for sure. I've heard the term before, but I like how he brings us into that day, you know, into the fun of it. And he brings us the picture of somebody who obviously was confident to the point of being cocky. So just a clever write and very well done.
Thank you. So what did you think, Dexter?
Well, as LaRon pointed out, a mulligan is a do-over. Is a redo of a shot. I just thought it was intriguing, you know, that I think that the element is getting all of these people that are highly successful out of their element at something that they're bad at or they struggle at, maybe from a sake of perspective. And I think that that's what the poem offers. So I thought it was well done.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
This is a charming little piece that looks at golf, a great frustrating sport that sometimes plays hell with us. The shoot of the 90s, of course, was not good. But to borrow balls from one of my managers, you know, you obviously didn't check to see how many balls you had, or you thought maybe the two sleeves of three was enough. But since he mentions mulligans, well, you know, when you take a shot, when you do it over, most of the time, it's because you hit the ball in a place where it's going to be awkward to find it, or perhaps impossible. So you drop a ball and you play the shot again, and, well, if you haven't played in a while, many mulligans eats many balls. Nice job.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a clever and charming poem. I did like the visuals. You know, during these holidays is where you see a lot of the retired military soldiers head out to the VFW or head out to the golfing courts. And they enjoy the sport. And, you know, I did think it was funny when he was talking about the mulligans because, you know, how many times have, you know, you take second chances when you don't whack it right the first time. So I got a big kick out of it.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm having a feeling that I'm seeing things in this that other people aren't seeing. I find it interesting that on Memorial Day weekend, they're out playing golf, which is what my dad used to do quite frequently. He had to deal with bursitis. But I find it strange that Memorial Day is to commemorate the fallen in battle. And he says, obviously, many mulligans, which is a do-over. Well, you don't get do-overs in battle.
No.
Find it ironic.
Yeah. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Frank.
Hello there.
Oh, yeah.
Me? All right.
Oh,
if
sure.
I might not be able to read any poems tonight, but I'll try to stay on as long as some have dropped and I can comment on.
Okay, great. Thank you. Would you like to comment on the last poem?
I wasn't able to hear much of the poem. I think I heard much of the conversation that was being spoken, but I'll definitely look at it, read it afterwards, if not.
Okay. All right, so you don't think you can read?
Well, the thing is, yeah, I don't know if the phone, that's my issue. It's always been the issue. But what I can do is I can try to stay on and comment on poems.
Okay. All right, I've got the next right. This is by Wichita Rick, and it's called Camouflage Casket. Camouflage caskets, best of a generation. First you shout with passion, didn't stand idle, ready to march to battle. Cemeteries, more famous than the quarrel, become markers for its members. Personal diary, lost in history, now next to mine, of people mixed in raw data. Mausoleum, crematorium, even more buried at sea, just a mark on the map where they take their final nap. They lie alone in that zone, whether airman, soldier, or sailors. Hearst did roll so silent, not a hint of anything violent. tears flowing have a universal language. Sounds like rain making pain from a storm covered by dark clouds. Paths of life mixed in strife, roads paved with headstones, filled with blood, marched on by friend or foe. They become a still frame in someone's mind. Real lives in disguise, their destiny not discreet. Many tags moving, dog tags on top, toe tags on bottom. So many wars, largest given numbers. Disturbing ritual, never-ending vigil. Final decision, a true gamble. No trial is final. Certificate for family's wall is all that is signed. Do those crosses stand as symbols? Who will know in the end what was right? Under the scope, does their life bring hope? Does the death bring peace with honor? And are they now a new generation's instructors? Does dirt disguise their demise? Death mask worn like fashionable veil? Flag on basket worn as shroud hides soul's pride? Connects all cultures, takes all corners. Final march guided by death's angels. And poem. But, yeah, you know, this is a hard-hitting poem about, you know, death and war and, you know, the drama and the tragedy that that brings. Who will know what was right under the scope? Does their life bring hope? Does the death bring peace and honor? And are they now a new generation's instructors? You know, the lessons learned in war. Yeah, fascinating poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is another one that's got powerful imagery all the way through. I like how he really touches the heart with lines about not only the death of these soldiers, but how their family and friends grieve. I like how he brings in the mausoleum, crematorium, even more buried at sea, just a mark on a map where they take their final nap. But he reminds us that there are those who aren't buried at home, who are, you know, and then real lives in disguise or destiny not discreet, many tags moving, dog tags on top, toe tags on bottom, so many wars, largest given numbers. You know, that he reminds us that war is an unfortunate amount and numbers of death that we can't hardly even comprehend. You know, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Dan. Thank you. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a deeply painful write about that kind of constant questioning that you would have to have go on in your mind about the why you're in battle, you know, destiny not discreet, disturbing ritual, you know, it's after, who knows in the end what was right. I think that that's just a haunting thought from the right, to have been in a person that's killed people, that has maybe been had their limbs taken from them, or is, you know, a family member is maybe dead. Who knows in the end what was right? That's just such a haunting thought there about the questioning side of war. So I thought that this was very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. Great comment. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I like the title of Camouflage Caskets because, you know, so many people who go die in war never get the tribute of a real casket and a real funeral. These are people whose personal diaries, as he says, are lost in history. Speaking of the mausoleum, the crematorium, but even more, buried at sea, just a mark on a map. The poem does a great job of visiting the after effects of war, the silently rolling curse without a hint of anything violent. It speaks to the paths of lives mixed in strife, roads paved with headstones sealed with blood, and real lives in disguise. You know, who was this person really? Not just a mark. Because now, it's a dog tag on top, a toe tag on the bottom, and that individual is now just a number. And he asks the question, who will know in the end what was right? What was right at the moment can be wrong 10 years later on. That's the problem with the war. It pretends to solve an immediate problem, and it can cause even worse as time goes by. I like the language in this. It's very emotional. Those dirt eyes, their demise, death mask worn like a fashionable veil. Something, you know, that connects all cultures, the act of death, because of war. It's a powerful piece.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Laura. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was very powerfully and very deeply set in emotions of what the soldiers and what the families have to go through. Like he's talking about here, that they become memories and numbers. He says, even a vet who has lost workmates on active duty with death, we become how we live. Peace takes practice. You know, he talks about the, you know, the love of the family, the hope of the family, you know, to hope that they come back home. Anytime you have family stationed overseas, you long to wait for them, and especially if it's during wartime. And, you know, and he talks about how the rain makes its pain. You know, is it enough that, you know, that basically, you know, he says these mausoleums and crematoriums, you know, buried at sea, that cemeteries are more famous than the coral. You know, why were all these, you know, why did they have to die? Why are they in these graves? Why didn't some of them come home? And then, you know, all that the family gets is the mementos that they get during the military ceremony. And, you know, it just makes you think how much that's all they're left with. These family members are just left with mementos if, you know, they don't even get to bury their own family member. This is very striking, and it makes you think, you know, hopefully you would think about the pain of war and to support more military veterans and their families. That's, for me, that's the way I see it, because they're the ones that are having to go through this.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Ooh, this is a very raw, real, powerful, visceral piece. Who will know in the end what was right? Onto the scope, does their new life bring hope? Does death bring peace with honor? Are they now new generations and instructors? This is a very somber homage to the thousands who have fallen in battle, and it questions whether or not the sacrifice of so many lives was truly justified if the reason for the conflict can't be remembered.
Absolutely. Great mm-hmm. comment again. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is it's a very powerful poem. You know, when you think about the title there, it just makes you think, you know, about what war is, you know, the consequences of war, you know, and unfortunately when the soldiers don't come back home, you know, they receive, you know, the salutations and, you know, and to some extent, you know, congratulations and so be it. But it is sad when those who don't return are only tags or perhaps just even names, you know, lost out there in the sea on foreign lands. I just thought the poem was very haunting. It's a very powerful poem. It was just, mm-hmm. breathtaking. And I thought, I have to say, this is one of the best poems I've actually heard read, and read myself, by, I believe, by Rick. It was just an incredible, incredible piece.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Dexter, I have your poem up next, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Well, I hope everybody's ready to do a total 180.
it all depends.
So here goes from the destruction of war to when the weather is hot. A vibration all around, smiles and curves, shape our world and dirty minds. A sip of beer, a drop of sweat, voice soft and sincere, one you'll never forget. Peaches on the prowl, peaches on a towel. Breathe in deep, every piece of the now. The summertime, what a day, what a night, what a time to be alive. End poem.
Great read, Dex. And yeah, you know, I mean, it's just a beautiful reflection of summertime and the thoughts and feelings that you have with it. Breathe in deep every piece of the now, the summertime, what a day, what a night, what a time to be alive. Absolutely. Summer just brings you to life, I believe. Brings all those thoughtful adventures to life as well. Beautiful job, Dex. And what did you think, Lord?
Yeah, when the weather is hot, strip down of that bathing suit, lay in the sun, sweat in public. Especially like beaches on the prowl, peaches on a towel, breathe in deep every piece of the now. You know, summertime is a magic time. It can be a magic time. Everybody enjoys the hot weather, provided it doesn't stay too hot for too long. I like the segue, Dex. Enough of war. On to summertime.
Thank you, Laurent.
Great comment, Laurent. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I think this was very lighthearted, and it makes me now know that when the weather is hot, that Dexter has dirty minds.
Absolutely.
That he's looking to the
or
sip
cold,
of beer,
guess,
to be,
you know?
Yeah, the drinking beer, to the peaches on the towel, you know, and like you said, what a time to be alive. Summertime, 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 yep.
Thank you, Lou. And Bobby, what did you think?
Thank you, Lou.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I like beaches. I like peaches on the towel. It leaves a lot to the imagination.
Yeah. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm not going to get into the dirty mind thing, but what I do appreciate here is, that is the way you convey the summer, you know. I myself am fond of summer. I do agree. It's the most. I think it's the most the season in which you find yourself exploring so many things. And what I like about this poem is it's just a simplistic poem. It's a natural piece here. And what I like as well is that you bring in the elements of what most people do during a cold, actually a hot day. You know, you bring elements of something to slake the thirst. You know, something as well to eat. And as well, something to clear your mind, that pops, you know, when you do have these dirty thoughts, I would say. But I thought it was a great poem.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Parent. Great comments. And Laurent, if you wouldn't mind reading yours next, please, that would be great.
All right. This is called Rules. Extension of Self. The rational mind seeks no end to the continuity of consciousness. Physical animal fails. Is the journey thus ended or newly begun? We are whole unto ourselves. Thought, the blood and the bone of existence, endures. spark finds a home. Matrix or beehive in the rough, there is a place. Wax me in, seal me against spoilage, or link my electric cohesive. Whatever the rules are, I'll follow them, as if I could avoid them. End poem.
Great read, and I really liked it. I mean, you know, it's a fascinating, intriguing, thought-provoking write on the subject of being alive and how we live it. So I thought it was just fascinating. What did you think, Dexter?
You know, I felt that this is a very strong write about kind of the rules of being alive and in survival. You know, you don't really, you know, spark finds a home, matrix in the beehive. You know, you don't really quite know your true strength until you have to be kind of strong and the rules to life, you realize are kind of universal. And that you, at some point, you got to play the game. You got to be strong. You got to stick in there in the pocket. And I think that that's kind of what this poem is about. I could be wrong on my interpretation, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, to me, this was a thought-provoking poem. You know, I like this title because then you start looking at what he's wrote. You know, our rules are extension of self. The rational mind seeks no end to the continuity of consciousness. You know that thought that we're constantly thinking about these rules that you know that we have to deal with in life, and at times. You said, wax me in, send me against village, or link my electric cohesive. Whatever the rules are, I'll follow them as if I could avoid them. You know, sometimes the rules that are made, we have to follow them whether we like it or not. And then there are other rules that we can kind of put aside, you know, when we think about it deeply. But some things are, you can't change the mainstream or the flow of nature. Sometimes you just have to go with it. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, Laurent.
You gotta think after.
I just.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
The message I get from this is that we ourselves, we are the whole unto ourselves thought, the blood and bone of existence endures. We have the freedom to make choices because the only rules that are really immutable are the laws of physics, nature, and mathematics. The rest of them are all human contrivances. And if humans can make rules, humans can ignore rules. Unfortunately, some of the rules that are the strongest are the unwritten social norms, that if you violate them, you find yourself pariah. Whatever the rules are, I'll follow them as if I could avoid them. The social norms, the social contrivances, are so fungible. They change with every generation. But they're still there, unfortunately. That's what I came away from with this.
Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I thought this was a very profound piece, very introspective. I had a sense of the same of what Bobby was saying, you know, but I also felt that, you know, that it also spoke to a sense of a little bit esoteric in the sense that of which could be a sense of rebirth. You know, when we think of the consciousness, you know, it's something that we attach to the mind. Yet at the same time, we're not aware of how much, how relevant it can be in its scope as well. You know, I just thought the poem really spoke to me on that level there. There is a sense of the broader sense of what Bobby was saying, that it had a sense of physics with metaphysics as well. But I also felt that it talked about, you know, the process of life and death, and that of what we attach to it, and the sense of what we know, what we don't know as well. This is a poem that's very enriched with layers of deep introspection here. And it's one of these types of poems that should be read over and over because it really makes you think, and it certainly did. It certainly brought me to the realm of consciousness here.
A nice insight, Frank.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Lawrence?
Well, I like the interpretations, first of all, because they went places that I hadn't anticipated, but I can easily see how they got there. The extension of self, you know, spoke to me because, you know, we don't want our consciousness to end. But what happens when the physical animal fails? Is the journey ended or has a new one begun? And the thought being the blood and the bone of existence implies that thought is a separate entity divorced from blood and bone, will endure. It is a spark that is going to find a home somewhere after death. And, you know, there are rules, obviously, after death that one has to follow. How could you avoid them? But that wasn't just the only point that the poem makes, I guess, because you guys made other excellent points as well.
Wonderful comment, Lauren. Thank you. And, okay, here. I think it's me, really, actually. Do you mind reading the next one here that I post?
Okay.
There we go. That's Blooded Cobra.
Is that the poem?
Yeah.
By Hoeda?
Yeah.
Release the Butterflies by Poeta de Cabra. With her, it is different. Nerves are deceased. Central eyes and smile has butterflies released. Mesmerized as the scent of her womanhood lingers, has both me and butterflies on tip of her fingers. Sight of her naked with hand behind her back fill me with desire instead of a panic attack. First woman in ages that I believe I can trust has given me the feeling now of wanton lust. Nipples are erect, I know the agenda, strokes me gently with fingers long and slender. She guides me with perfection. Oh, what a mentor. Directs me to her moist lips, desiring me to enter. We'll make passionate love long through the night. Bodies will come together in climax. I'll shudder. With her, all my tensions will be completely gone. And thanks to her, the butterflies are also a flutter. End poem.
Great comment. I mean, great read, Lee. And it was a fabulous, sensual poem, you know, delicate, reverential, and passionate throughout. We will make passionate love long through the night. Bodies will come together, and in climax, I'll shudder. With her, all my tensions will be completely gone. And thanks to her, the butterflies are also a flutter. I mean, yeah, just a fascinating poem, beautifully done. What did you think, Dexter?
It goes along the line, and I don't mean this in a negative or derogatory way, but it goes along the lines almost of like 4-year-old virgin or anybody that's dealt with any type of sexual anxiety. There's been people that have been somewhat sexually abused, all different all different range of sexual anxiety, that once you find that right person that is passionate, that is loving, that is just kind of that right connection, you find that is able to be put aside and you're able to open up. Fills me with desire instead of a panic attack. That can be taken in multiple different ways. Like I said, if you're a virgin, you could also maybe a person of with a background of abuse. Finding sex with the right person is a beautiful thing, and I think that this is a great poem.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Laurent, what are your thoughts?
Well, when you're faced with a woman who you deeply admire, who you want a piece of, who you really want to love and be loved by, many times our bellies are filled with butterflies. We're nervous. We're tense. We might say the wrong thing, but here's a woman where it's different. Nerves are deceased. Sensual eyes and smile as butterflies released. Mesmerized, the scent of her womanhood lingers as both me and butterflies on the tip of her fingers. The butterflies are now freed to enjoy. You are free to enjoy. And the individual is filled with desire. And instead of the panic that we might feel otherwise, because he's found a woman he can trust, and that trust has replaced all other sensations with the sensation of wanton lust. He communicated that really, really well. The turnaround, the nervousness completely gone, and the passion and the lust now supreme. Nice job.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is, you know, a deeply sensual, right? What I liked about it was, you know, he was saying with this person, things are different. Nerves are deceased. You know, when somebody that just hits the wrong nerve with you, you just can't get along with that person. And, you know, he talks about, you know, he starts giving descriptive things where sensual eyes, her smile has butterflies released, mesmerized, the scent of her woman that lingers, has me, both me and butterflies, a tip on her fingers. And, you know, there is that release when I think Laurent was talking about, you know, that and that feeling you have for somebody in the pit of your stomach when those butterflies start moving. But what I liked about this was, he said that what filled him with desire, that she filled him with desire instead of panic attack, because he says that he believes, and hopefully she's the right woman that, you know, or, you know, that he can trust her. And trust is very important in a relationship, because you can do things with trust that you cannot do things with not trust. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Beautifully sensual, right? Beautiful rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. Wonderfully. Very, very, very pleasing cadence. Very nice to listen to, nice to read. Very erotic without being explicit, which is always nice because it leaves something to the reader's imagination. But I see here, this is a salute to the visceral feeling that the butterflies, the squirrels in your stomach you get when you meet the right person, and just having them hold your hand or put their hand on your shoulder or kiss you. Oh, my God, you feel like your head's going to explode.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
You know, the poem, it's a very central poem, you know, perhaps erotic, but what I found really admiring is the romantic feeling as well of what it is when you're with that person, you know, that special person there that makes you feel those butterflies. It's just remarkable, you know, when you think about what it means to be with someone like that and how it may, excuse me, and how it makes you feel. And that's what I felt in this poem. I felt that he strongly was it was almost an ode as well to her as well, and just how much he really, you know, how much he really meant to him in every aspect, you know, the mental, the physical, the romantic, the sensual. It's just, it's an incredible poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
Gray?
Yes, hello.
Gray, already made a comment. Did you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Do you hear me? You hear me?
Yep, I can.
I already made a comment. You didn't make a list.
Well, you know. okay, Bobby, you're up next to read, please.
Bad host.
Oh, no.
Okay. No dessert for you. Okay. This was written for a contest a while ago, and it was inspired by several pieces. One from never mind, let me just read it. Okay. Counterfeit conscience. As I was walking down the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Well, how I wish he'd go away. And Antigonish, the name of the poem is Antigonish by Hugh Means, and that was part of my inspiration. And it was also loosely based on Poe. As I was walking down the stair, I could not believe who I saw there. He had my face. He had my name. But somehow we were not the same. My name, my clothes, my birthday, too. Not a detail does he eschew. I see him in the shadows everywhere. He's ever present as the air. We seem to share both time and space. He follows me from place to place, and though his voice I barely hear, his dictates echo in my ear. This double thwarting all my plans, he stops my game and ties my hands. He dogs my steps. He walks my path, and he persists despite my wrath. He labels me a hedonist. To his abuse, I cry, desist. Still, he continues his assault, ever constantly finding fault. His discontent with my milieu, the restless target of his review. His constant onslaught soon must end, or into madness I will descend. I weary of this Sturm und Drang caused by his endless harangue. His repeating voice within my head will only stop once he is dead. Angel or devil, it matters not. I'll not find peace till he is shot. I must be quit of this carnival freak in my life. I must be unique. I set my plan, take aim, and then relax, not to hear his voice again. But instead of being set free, it seems that I have murdered me. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Bobby. And that's a powerful poem on the subject of being driven insane by one's own self and, you know, the polar opposite of your existence. But, you know, that last stanza is really haunting. I set my plan, take aim, and then relax to not hear his voice again. But instead of me being set free, it seems I have murdered me. Just a haunting, haunting poem. Wonderfully written and fabulously presented, Bobby.
Thank you.
Dexter, what did you think? Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic piece and one that's, I feel like very relatable to myself. One thing that's kind of, I've been dabbling in and kind of getting in depth in a little bit is my parents were never very, my dad never really showed public affection. And I found out that deep down that kind of creates almost like a feeling of shame when you feel towards somebody or just a lot of different things that can create. And it was subconsciously. And this kind of assault on yourself, you know, and it's not meant to happen. And the angels and devils, I set my plan, I take aim. You know, this is just a fantastic piece. And I think that it's one that I think that each of us can find is their own inner battle within this piece. So very well done.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Lord, what did you think?
I thought it was a delightful piece, Bobby. Exceedingly well-rhymed and constructed. I like the thought of an alternate self who bedevils us, our conscience, perhaps, who will not let us rest. I weary of his stern and drang, caused by his endless harangue, his repeating voice within my head will only stop once he is dead. Beware, however, his abolishment, because instead of my being set free, it seems that I have murdered me. We can, of course, separate the many we's that inhabit our consciousness. We are many people sometimes. And if you've got a persistent voice in your ear driving you mad with criticism, perhaps we should listen and take note. Because that sometimes a voice of wisdom, Bobby turns it around, of course, murders yourself, very tongue-in-cheek. I do like this. I got to tell you, your rhyming is so good, especially storm and drang, harangue. Yeah, it's perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, that caught my eye as well. Great comment, Lauren. And Frank, what did you think? Or sorry, Lou. Lou, what did you think?
All right.
Lou, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me, Gray? I didn't want to jump in front of you.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
We can.
You know, what I loved about this was the way Bobby read it with her voice, because it made an impact, because it was like following her into this dark alley that I was never going to come out of. You know, your conscience can literally beat you up. And for some people, they see things. You know, they hear things in their mind, another voice, and this type of horror, this type of, like Poe, it's so devastating because you know that they will never be happy, that they will die in this agony. And you brought that out. This was just like, it just flowed perfectly. And then into that last stanza, I see my plan, take aim, and then relax, not to hear his voice again, but instead of being set free, it seems that I have murdered me. You know, just to shut that voice out. The extent that somebody will go to quiet that inner voice. Excellent poem, Bobby.
Thank you.
Great comment. Great comment, Louie. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, of course, this is the poem is very, very much Poe. I saw William Wilson in this poem, and I saw his alter ego as well. This was a poem that really reflects, you know, if you get beyond, you know, the Poe reference here, it does talk about what I believe is the ego. You know, all of us have an ego, and I think this poem really speaks volumes of what our ego is, you know, whether it's pervasive, whether it's evasive as well, it's with us. And sometimes we don't want to recognize that, you know, it does alter our abilities, our traits, you know, it does have an effect on us, good or bad. This poem really does make you think about, you know, everyone, you know, every one of us has a good and bad side in us. And I believe everyone has an ego. We just have to realize to what degree will it destroy us. That was a great,
yeah.
It was a great poem, great poem.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is called Grandma Sewed Life by S. Sharp. Grandma darned my socks, but she sewed the summer sun in the sky too. Hearts were threaded through her needles as well. Waves in her pattern swept me smelling the sea, breezes. Stitches pulled everything together for me at her kitchen table, where she patched distance with harmony, creating a blanket that warms morning with memories. I recall how she feather-stitched light in such a way there was no darkness in her home. Vibrant colors, like I did, sat at 45-degree angle to her bias. Love attached to the seams of life, I think, because she wanted me to be her match point. And now I sit sewing lives too. And poem. And it was a beautiful presentation and devotion to his grandmother and the power that she held in his life. You know, she sewed the sun to the sky, and hearts were threaded through her needles as well. Weaves in her patterns left me smelling the sea breezes. I mean, you have sense and you have sight, and just a wonderful poem. Beautifully heartfelt. Heartfelt written poem on the love of his grandmother. So beautifully done, Sharp. And what did you think, Dexter?
I think that it's a perfect piece depicting the importance of a grandmother in maybe all of our lives, maybe the lives around the world. In other cultures, it's more important than others. But, you know, grandma... I moved in with my grandmother while she passed away. She passed away in her house, but that was because I moved in to take care of her. And she could have said anything to me, and she did. She had dementia, and she completely cussed me out at times or whatever. But grandmother sewed life together, and since she's passed away, we haven't gotten together as a family. You know, grandmother was the stitching in life, so... grandmothers are a special thing that if you have them in your life, they're an important piece. So very well done.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Laurent, what did you think?
Grandma darned my socks, but she sewed the summer sun in the sky too. Hearts were threaded through her needles as well. Waves in her patterns left me smelling the sea breezes. This is a poem that spans life from the ordinary to the sublime. We have a grandmother creating with needles, not just a product or a garment, but it's a visual that includes her world and the way she saw it and the way her demeanor managed everything around her and the way it affected the poet, if you will. You can literally see the grandmother skillfully creating, and within the arc of that creation, everything was included. The socks, the summer sun in the sky, the hearts threaded through needles.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Liu, what did you think?
I thought this was beautifully penned. I really enjoyed this because it's brought back a lot of memories for me from my grandmother, my mother, and my aunt, how, you know, he sewing wasn't just sewing. It was something you did because you loved somebody. You know, whether it was sewing their socks or patches on their jeans or whatever it was, or getting a hole and putting a flower on it and stitching that on. Life was always something that could be patched up with love, hugs and kisses and sewing. It could always be fixed. And, you know, and that's, you know, where everybody sat around and stories were told and things that we remember. So they basically, they sewed, like Dexter was talking about, this sewing is part of our heredity from our parents from the past on how we should treat people and how, you know, to me, how loving humans can be if they choose to be that way. And he's choosing to follow the path of his grandmother. Love.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this resonated with me because I had a grandmother that did much the same thing. I had read something similar called Love from a Bit of Cloth. And I wrote, as I grew older, I came to realize that Grandma had not merely made clothing from homemade patterns and leftover fabric. She had created a miracle. She had sewn love from a bit of cloth. And these grandmothers are like the great generation from World War II. They are an anachronism. Now, you don't have grandmothers much like this anymore. Everybody's modern and hip and whatever. But these were the fonts of wisdom. These were the people that you went to with your problems, because they had the gift of knowing, of living their lives and gathering wisdom, and were able to see past things that we used to get tangled up in. And this is a beautiful, beautiful example. I mean, she sewed the summer sun in the sky. Hearts were threaded through her needles. Waves of it makes her the nucleus of the person's existence. It revolved around her, and she was obviously the glue that held the family together. And I like the sewing references and the footnotes, the author's notes, sewing on the bias. Is a 45-degree angle to the gain line, a diagonal direction of the fabric. And if you sew at all, you know how important it is to know if you're sewing on the bias or not. And also, where he writes match point, the point marked in one pattern so it can be matched to a similar point on another pattern. Also very important, and the way they're introduced in this piece is ingenious.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
I thought this was a very, very powerful poem. You know, I too have lost my grandparents there for years. It's been several years now. But one thing I do remember about my grandmother, the mother of my mother, was that she too loved to sew. And she did teach my mother to do that, which is one of her favorite hobbies there. But this poem is much more than just the sewing and that and the stitching. It's about, you know, the memories of life. It's about building a memory, honoring a tradition as well. And this poem was just a very powerful poem in that aspect, that it brings you to realize, you know, when someone dies, you know, someone so fond that you're so, you know, special, you think about all the good things, you know, and most of the times we think about the memories we shared with them. And this is what made me think about this poem. So I thought it was just a remarkable poem.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to play your poem. I'm going to play your SoundCloud next, Frank.
All right. Thank you.
Deep within the constellation of stars. luminosity, with a sparkling glow emitting the heated transmission of love, I draw from the secret realm of the ancient portals that ward the galaxy as I drift gradually into the vast space of your alluring mysticism. I glance at the loop of a black hole and a pool of liquefied gas seeping away, spots of tears and a yearning that starts with the formation of your image, a lonesome light that spans beyond the illustrations of an illusion that snaps. I am lost in the part of the fragments that trap me with your beauty. My touch peels the layers of your fears with an embrace awakening in your sleep, and I hold you in my arms, feeling the warmth of the rays of the sun in our dance as I burn then in the fading ashes of atoms that I was born from originally, becoming a celestial fusion with you and one, my streaking comet. A phenomenon of love riding with the solar winds of romance and the sphere of the tale of lovers into the infinitude of oblivion, the waves of the music of a violin. Record the gentle echoes of our voices and the remembrance of our love. When the universe belong to us. Uh-oh. In the poem.
Great reading, right, Frank? Just fantastic.
Right, thank you.
SoundCloud.
Thank you very much.
You know, the poem's deeply romantic. It's intriguing, and it's enchanting. Very visceral and emotive throughout. You can feel the passion and desire that you have for this person. And, I mean, you know, this is a lucky person that has this much attention and love given to them. So, beautiful job, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Dexter?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic piece. You know, my comment or my thought was, what came first, your right or the little background music that you picked? And this isn't a knock, because a lot of times you feel like, well, you know, you're commenting on something that I didn't do, your background. But I thought you picked a perfect background for that SoundCloud, because I feel like this piece is such a fluttering, and just it was just the perfect mix of your words and your language in that fluttering kind of beat. And I just thought it was perfect for my streaking comment. Very well done.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. In the video, you see the video at the bottom. That's the song there. You will see, if you click on the video, that's the music there that I used.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
I thought that Frank did a beautiful job of this. I saw that he did it to a word bank. I would have never known. Yeah, and you did do it with a twist. You did do it with a twist. You know, this is very sensual. And more than that, it's very erotic. That first stanza, deep within the constellation, as stars I find your cosmic luminosity with a sparkling glow emitting the heated transmission of love. I draw from the secret realm of the ancient portals at the ward of the galaxy and drift gradually into the vast space of your alluring magnetism. I mean, how sexy is that? I mean, I would be in your science class in a heartbeat.
Well, you never know.
You know, you know, and then, you know, to like you, and then you just keep going. You talk about the touch peels the layers of your fears with an embrace and awakening you asleep. There is something so fantastic about having the person that you're in love with, the eroticism, that they go into your dreams. And, you know, and then the dreams, especially, you know, where you make that person feel safe. Because that is the whole thing. When the person trusts you and they feel safe, they can reveal so much of themselves. And I thought this absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I appreciate that. And if you scroll down really quickly, you scroll down to the comments, you can see the prompt there, the picture there for the poem.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Great comment.
Beautiful.
And Bobby, what did you think?
I was deeply disappointed. I was waiting for flamenco guitars.
Oh, there you go.
Sangria.
Ole, 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 ole.
I thought the incidental music was a lovely departure. I liked the piece itself. My goodness, is a very, very transcendental. Very celestial. Your beloved has an Elysian quality, Empyrean, otherworldly. You've got so many astronomical references in there, woven so beautifully. Louis says sometimes the science woven in with the romance, I think gives it gives it a thread. For me, it gives it a thread of fascination because it gives it a layer of complexity that makes you really think about what's being said. I hold you in my arms, the feeling of warmth of the rays of the sun as I burn then into fading ashes of atoms that become celestial fusion with you, my streaking comet. Beautiful references layered in there. It's a wonderful word painting. I would say it was more of a word tapestry. Very nicely done, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. And really quick, the word bank there had a lot of scientific words there. So.
Oh, yes. Clearly.
Fantastic job, Frank. I think we got that right.
Thank you very much, sir.
And... Bobby, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows?
Yes, the alternate week. And by the way, I'm sorry I missed your show on Saturday. I was being held hostage by house guests.
Okay.
When they migrate down from Canada, you kind of have to pay court to them. So, you know, and they've got lots to say. These people have lots to say anyway. So I was hoping this show went well. But our show, Exploring Ekphrasis, is coming up again this Saturday. We're going to have the full-figured art of Fernando Botero. And we should have some interesting reads. And the other active contest, and that contest is still open. If you feel inspired to write poetry to Zoftic pictures of people, we also have Frida Kahlo out there with some very self-revealing self-portraits, soul-searching portraits of Frida Kahlo. It gives you the reason she did so many self-portraits. It's very interesting. So anyway, that's that. Me and Dan.
Great comment.
Be there or be square.
Thank you for sharing that, Bobby. Appreciate it. And much love, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you for calling in.
Take care, my friends. It's good to be on and see all of you.
Ciao,
buenas noches. Buenas noches, todos.
Buenas noches.